that for every one of us, at some time in our life, that little question has gone through our mind, is God really fair? And that's a very important question, because it has an awful lot of ramifications to our life and to our living. Something happened to me this week that has been making this question sort of go around in my mind like a pinball. It was this last Tuesday, and I was with some friends, and we were in the middle of a kind of an important meeting, and I got a phone call, and it was my wife, and she said, Mark, she said, Micah got hurt. And I said, well, you know, is everything okay? Well, so I'm not sure. I'm going to take him in and get him checked. I think he's going to be all right. But I said, well, would you like me to come home? And she said, no, I think I can get there, but I just wanted you to know. So maybe you and your friends could pray about it. And she said, I'll get back with you. So I said, okay. I didn't think it was anything serious. My wife sounded pretty calm. And for once, I felt pretty calm. And I was glad I wasn't home. And so I get home about 10:30 that night, 10:45, and the kids are all laying in the living room. They all got little beds made, and they're all waiting for me to get home. And I said, is Mom home yet? And no, she's not home yet. I said, oh, so I'm waiting for the phone to ring, and it's about 11:30, and my wife says, well, she said, we're just getting in now for the x-rays. I said, x-rays? She said, yeah, we think Micah broke his leg. He's my two-year-old, Micah is. And I said, oh, darlings, don't break bones. You know, it's just a genetic thing. I said, is this no way? I said, don't worry about it. It's just probably a bad sprain. So about 12:30, I guess the emergency room that night was totally swamped. They had to go to Riverside. I guess they sent him to Riverside in Minneapolis. One doctor, it was just a zoo. She said, guy next door had just been electrocuted, and the person over here was half dead. And it was an unbelievable experience. And here's my wife and my son there. And so she calls back about, it must have been 12:30, and said, well, he's got a broken leg. In fact, it broke in two places. I said, you got it. You can't be serious. I said, I don't believe this. She said, yeah, I'm serious. She said, it's broken. So I hung up the phone. I thought, I just don't believe this. I mean, how could this possibly have happened? Of course, then I was waiting to get home to ask her how it happened. So she got home about 1 o'clock, and they finally got back, and here comes my little son, you know, and his legs all wrapped up to here. And I don't know if you've ever seen a little two-year-old with their leg wrapped up. It's one thing to see an adult, but a two-year-old just kind of tears your heart out, you know. And especially my little two-year-old, because he's just the mover and the shaker in the family. He's everywhere all the time, going, going, going. And I thought, this is, all my mind was just racing, you know, with all of the problems this was going to present to our life. I mean, my wife's health has just started to come on the upswing. Her back started to feel better. All that's going to go down the tubes. Mike is going to want her to pick him up all the time. It's going to bother her back. He's not going to sleep right. He's going to be extra cranky because, my goodness, this kid's going to be trapped for 30 days. If I had to do it for a day, I'd die. Let alone was my two-year-old. So they get home, and sure enough, he was up all night. What would happen was he'd start to fall asleep, and then he'd wake up shaken and scream. I guess he was reliving the experience. I don't know. I couldn't get inside of his mind. He was just scared. So the next morning, I held him for a little while. I think he was so tired, he was numb to who was holding him. So he let me hold him for a little while. And it's frustrating as a parent, because you like to comfort your little child, but I'm not the one he likes to look to for comfort. And so he's sitting in my arms, and he'd start to drift off. I was singing to him, and he'd start to drift off. And then sure enough, he'd start to shake, and he'd scream. So I'm watching all this, and I'm thinking in my mind, you know, God, why did you let this happen? Especially to me. I mean, I'm in the ministry. If you ought to be looking out for anybody's kids, it ought to be mine. You know? I mean, I've never had to go to the emergency room with one of my other kids. So, you know, why with Micah, especially with Micah? He's more active than the whole family put together. You know? And he's always on the go, and he's going to be trapped in this little prison. Then my wife's telling me, yeah, and they didn't set the bone yet. They have to do that when he goes back in for the cast. And my mind, I was just racing with one thing after another. And then, you know, God, I mean, why do you play around with my wife's health like this? Because you know now, Micah's going to want her to pick her up, and I'm going to be in and out during the day, and she's going to be the one who has to lift him with his extra 5-pound cast on his leg, and it's not going to do her back any good. Finally, I just came to the conclusion that, Lord, you know, quite honestly, there's nothing good about this at all. I don't see one good thing in this at all. The only good thing that I can't believe didn't happen was what happened, see, was we have this, the great city of Bloomington decided that renters need fire escapes from the basement. Now, if you're a homeowner, you don't need one, see. But if you're a renter, you got to dig a hole by a window and put in this big window so you can crawl out of it in case of a fire. Well, the problem with that is it leaves a 4-foot by 4-foot hole that can't be covered or anything else. My son, he's been by it many times, but this particular night, he had a friend over, little girl, and I think he was showing off. So I wasn't there, see, but you know how guys get around girls. You know how it is. And he just walked over to the hole, and my son was over by it, my other son. He bent down and went, yah, and jumped up in the air and jumped down in the hole. I don't know. He must have seen me do that too many times around the house. I don't know what happened. And what I can't believe is he didn't go through the glass window. Because there's a, I don't know, if your leg breaks, why do you didn't, I don't know. I'm thankful for that. But I kept playing this over and over in my mind. God, is this really fair? Is this really fair? I mean, don't we have enough things that we're dealing with? Now I got a son with a broken leg. And you know what? As I began to think about this, I started to think this. I started to realize how many of us in life really go through our circumstances with positive thinking rather than faith. And I'm going to show you the difference by the time I'm done today. And here's positive thinking. Positive thinking always tries to find the good in the situation. See? And that's how we get through it. Well, at least he didn't break both legs. Well, at least he didn't go through the glass and cut his face all to shreds. Well, at least he didn't break an arm and a leg. And the wells go on and on. But you see, my question is, why did he break one to begin with? See, I don't care what he didn't break. What we care about is why did what happened happen? See, positive thinking never answers that question. All it does, usually, is help you pretend that it's not as bad as it really seems. But it doesn't really give you often the faith and the courage to face the problem for what it really is. And I was thinking about that. I thought, how many Christians that I know, really rather than faith in God, the way they get through life is just trying to find any redeeming quality in the bad things that happen to them. And then they hold on to that and it keeps them going. But still in the back of our mind is the nagging question, is God really playing fair? I want to talk about that this morning. First thing I want to share with you is this. There's a difference between God and life. Often, we look at life and we go, life is not really fair. And we just kind of throw God into the pot. And we say, yes, see, God is not fair. Because life is not fair. Well, there's a difference between God and life. And I want to talk about that for just a moment. Life is not fair. Period. Racism is not fair. Prejudice is not fair. It's not fair that a woman 2 days ago stabbed her 2-year-old daughter because she was crying too much and now is in the courts of this city saying, pleading that she was insane when it happened and her drug problem caused it. That is not fair. A lot of things that happen in life are not fair. It is not fair. I read yesterday a statistic that men 6 foot and over make on the average $4,000 to $5,000 a year more than men who are under 6 foot. And they get more of the promotions. It's a statistic. It's a proven fact. It's not fair. It's not fair. As statistics show that on the average, most women don't make as much as their male counterpart. It's not fair. The world that you and I live in does not play fair. If you haven't realized that yet, it's time to wake up and smell the roses. And it's time to wake up and start putting the blame where it goes and not on God. Because God, as we will learn as we go on, He plays fair. Society does not. The world we live in does not. It's not fair that the Kurdish people have to go through what they're going through. It's not fair that men like Saddam Hussein are allowed to live. It's not fair. It's not fair that there's inequity and injustice. It's not fair. I think it's not fair that when I take my shirt off, I don't look like Bo Jackson. To me, that isn't fair. I don't know. You know, it's just Herschel Walker. All he does is push-ups and sit-ups, and I try. It's not happening yet. I don't know. Maybe I need to up my sit-ups or something. You know? Some you may think it's not fair. So-and-so can sing, and I can't. So-and-so's attractive, and I'm not. See, our definition of fair is anything that's in our favor. That's fair. It's like studying for a test. You studied a week for that test. You should have got an A, and I got a B on it. It's not fair. Well, I don't know if you didn't answer the questions right. It's still not fair. I studied for that. I worked hard for that promotion. I worked hard for that promotion. I should have got it. It's not fair. So our definition of fair, if we're really honest with ourselves, is that if it works out in my favor, it was a good deal and it's fair. And if it's not, I got a bad deal. It's not fair. I was out the other day washing my van. That's the first new vehicle I've ever owned. And it's semi-new. It's actually used. But it's pretty new as far as I'm concerned. And I'm washing it. It never fails. If you want to find the flaw in something, wash it by hand. Don't go through the drive. Wash it by hand. And I'm washing. There's a scratch. Look at this dent. Then I'm washing. Then you go over the inside of the paneling. You know, you think you pay this kind of money for a vehicle that the trim would all be together and tight. Then I reach up and I'm adjusting the air conditioning vents and pulls right out. This is not fair. This is not fair. I'm paying this much money every month for this thing. Piece of junk. It's not fair, see? We want to pay for a little, you know, Chevette and get a Rolls Royce. And that's kind of how we think about everything in life. But besides that, there really is the simple fact that a lot of things in life aren't fair. Then the other thing that happens is we do foolish things and then we blame them on God and say it's not fair. We make really foolish choices and then we say, God wasn't fair. It's like these three guys. True story. It never ceases to amaze me what men will do. I guess women can do crazy things too. I just happened to read this about these three guys. These three guys are out camping. Took a weekend off from the wives. Went up on a mountain and they're up camping, see? And so they get into this macho mood. And it happens to men sometimes. They all get together. They decide to see who's the best. So what they do is they have this fire they built. And they're all going to see who can jump over it. Kind of a classic male situation. And they build this big fire, okay? And they get back and they start running and jumping over. And the first two guys run and jump over. The third guy goes, man, I'm going to beat all of you. He gets way back. He runs. He leaps. Didn't realize that the 8,000 foot edge of the mountain was just 2 feet over. And he fell to his death. True story. The Bible says a man's own foolishness ruins his chances, but his heart rages against God. That's what Proverbs says. How many people's lives have been ruined? How many other people's lives have been ruined by the foolishness of someone else, but we blame God? And the reason we blame God is because we go, well, if God's so fair, and if God's so loving, and if God's so powerful, then why didn't He keep it from happening? We don't understand. That's not the parameters of life. That's not how God works. Let me give you an example how we often are. We're like the child that looks at their mom and dad and says, looks them in the eye and says, you know, I didn't ask to be born. You know, if you would have controlled yourself, this wouldn't happen. In fact, why didn't you just kill me before I came out? Then I wouldn't have these bad grades. Then I wouldn't have this peer pressure at school. Then life wouldn't be such a bummer. It would have been better if I would have never been born, and it's your fault, so do something about it. Now, I don't know very many kids that have ever said that to their parents. Maybe they've thought it. But the very thought of it is just insane. It's just insane mentality. And yet we do that with God all the time. Okay, God, you're so big. You're so great. Stop all these problems. Stop all this trouble. You see, when you ask that question, you don't realize what you're asking. You don't realize what the consequences may be. First thing to understand is this. God understands what it's like to be treated unfair. Jesus lived for 33 years on this planet. He left heaven, He came down here, and lived in the same cesspool that you and I live in. He never did anybody any wrong. He never had a bad thought. He never did anything wrong, period. Jesus spends his days healing the blind, making the lame man walk, making the deaf man hear, making the dumb man speak. He raises people from the dead. He feeds the poor. He brings his wonderful message of life to everybody, and thousands of people witnessed it. They saw it. This man went everywhere doing good. Historical fact is the truth. In 3 years, you want to talk about prejudice? You want to talk about discrimination? Then you think about Jesus. You want to talk about unfair? Let's talk about Jesus. Here's Jesus. He does all these good things for people, and they make up lies about him. They say he's a drunkard. He's a glutton. In fact, the Pharisees even started a rumor that he was the Lord of all the demons. He was Satan himself, and he did all of these miracles by the power of Satan. Jesus just kept going right on, and then one day, one of the closest ones to him betrays him and sells him for 30 pieces of silver. And then his best friends, the ones who are most loyal, they all desert him. They'll leave him. And there's Jesus. He gets beaten to a pulp. His back is a mess. His body's a mess. His beard is ripped out of his face. Thorns are smashed down on his head, and they beat his head with rods. It's kind of like a broomstick. And then they take him. They walk him naked through the city. Totally naked. It's not like anybody ever painted him. He didn't have nothing on. They weren't that kind. Through the streets, he falls down, he gets back up, and then they take him and they pound huge spikes into his hands, into his feet, and they leave him there hanging as a spectacle for everyone to see. My friends, God understands society's inequities. God understands this is a very unfair world that we live in. It's not fair. But when you and I, on those moments when we look at God and we say, God, why don't you do something about it? Let me explain what you're saying to God so that you understand the reality. You see, to God, He is going to make every wrong right. There's no doubt of that in the Bible if you read it. He's going to make every wrong right. He's going to take care of every pain and every suffering unjust that you went through. But you must understand this. To God, He is not limited by time. We are. We're in sort of the twilight zone of time as far as God is concerned. We're locked in. God is not. As far as God is concerned, Jesus died today. He rose from the dead today. He went to heaven today. And we were born today. There's no time frame for God. The second thing you need to understand is this. If you were to come back today and do something about it, you don't understand the consequences. People who don't know Christ have no chance. Once He comes back, it's over. Once He comes back, it's heaven or hell. That's all there is to it. There's no more mercy. There's no more grace. There is no more time. The only reason God allows inequity to go on and unfairness to go on is that perchance, through those traumas and trials of life, someone would come to know Him as their personal Savior, and then they would experience the greatest event in their life and spend all of eternity in heaven instead of in hell. You have to understand this, that this world is but a split millisecond to God in light of eternity. It's a millisecond. It's not that God doesn't relate to your pain. It's not that God does not relate to our hurt. It's that He has a whole different perspective on the universe than you and I. And what is unfair to us is totally fair to God. You see, God's ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts, and we must be willing to admit that. We must be willing to acknowledge to ourselves and to God that we're different. That we do not see things eye to eye. That God's ways are so far superior to ours that we will never understand. That's hard for us, isn't it? That's hard for us to say and admit we don't understand. I want to share something with you about God. You cannot, nor will you ever be able to put God in a test tube. You cannot intellectually figure God out. God lets you know what He wants you to know, But your brain capacity is not able to understand how infinite and wise God truly is. And unless you're willing to accept that by faith, I got a simple answer for you. There's just no chance. There'll be no peace in your mind, no peace in your heart. There'll be turmoil in your life. Because every day, if you're honest and you open up the paper, you see all of this inequity. You see all of this injustice. You see all of this unfairness. And then there's things that happen in your own life. And you may think to yourself, God, this isn't fair. Let me share this with you. If you know Christ today, God has never been unfair with you in His life. In fact, God has never been unfair with anyone. You see, number one, God didn't create the world as it is today. God created Adam and Eve. He created them in this wonderful place. There wasn't a single problem at all. There was no imperfection at all. God let Adam and Eve know what the stakes were right from the beginning. There was no misunderstandings. He said, everything is yours. Everything you see is yours. You rule it. Rule it together. The animals are yours. The trees are yours. The earth is yours. There's one tree on the whole planet Earth that you cannot eat from. For the day you do, you'll die. One. Just one. And one day, they disobeyed. God didn't make them. And God didn't even tempt them. He just told them there's a natural law in life. Why? Because, you see, where there are no choices, there is no true love. You didn't put a gun to your mate's head and say, marry me or die. That's not love. Same is true with God. Without choices, there's no voluntary love. But with choices, there are also consequences. And God let him know that. From that point on, there's been death. There's been disease. There's been injustice. There's been hatred. There's been prejudice. There's been malice. There's been bitterness. And brother has hated brother. And sister has hated sister. And husband has hated wife. And it's gone on and on and on and on for about 8,000 years. And man has just made a mess of everything. The reason Jesus Christ came was to redeem us out of our mess. By the way, it wasn't fair that He came. That's the mercy of God. Mercy is not fair. God didn't give us what we deserve. He didn't give us what we deserve. If we got what we deserve, if we got what was fair, God would have simply gone, it's over. It's just over. I'm tired of putting up with your rebellion. I'm tired of putting up with your insolence, your pride, your arrogance. I'm tired of people not accepting me and giving me the credit that's due me. I'm tired of the cruel, brutal way that people are treating one another. This was not my plan. God has been more than fair to us. If we know Him, He's fair to us all the time. Everything that happens in our lives is for good. Everything. Even though we can't see it. And even though we can't understand it. One verse, guys, has been drilling home to me this last week. Relationship to my son. And I never thought about this until this week. And now I know why this happened. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. You know what I realized? I realized that most Christians are like me. We trust God with half our heart and the rest of life we try to figure out. When we can't figure it out, we don't trust. Most of us spend our life trying to figure out God and why things happen and make up good reasons why they happen. But when it comes to things that we don't understand, rather than trusting God, we question Him. Rather than admitting in humility, you know what, God, by the way, I am pretty stupid. Oh, we don't like to admit that, do we? We don't like to admit that we're finite. We don't like that. But it's very important that you understand something. Our brains compared to God is like comparing a rock to a computer. There isn't a comparison. What God comprehends and what He understands is beyond figuring out. Romans says, oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways are beyond tracing out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been His counselor? Who has taught God and said, hey, God, why don't you do it this way? I got a better plan, God. You see, no one's ever been able to do that, nor will anyone ever be able to. God, like the old spiritual says, has the whole world in His hand. And even though we may think the world's out of control and things seem not to be together, God is working through the wickedness and the unrighteousness of our society to accomplish His divine purposes. And God is causing all of the things that happen in your life that seem unfair to work together for good, even though they don't make a dime's worth of sense to you. They don't have to. They don't have to. I'll share something with my friend. Until you're willing to come to that conclusion in your life about God, you'll never really know God. You'll never really experience peace and tranquility in your life. All there'll be is a tumultuous turmoil inside your heart. God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing in your life. You may think to yourself, how come they're getting married and I'm not? I mean, God, I've known You a lot longer and I've been serving You a lot longer. I remember a time in my life going through some very difficult financial situation. And there was a young man who worked in the same place I did. He was a waiter there, I was a cook, and I led him to the Lord. He came to know the Lord. Just a college kid. Basically, in my opinion, he had no character. Just a loafer. He just made it through college by the skin of his teeth. He gets out of college, and I get three children then to provide for, two to take care of. And he goes out looking for a job. I was looking for a job. I was working two jobs. And he goes out, finds a job riding a golf cart, mowing the golf greens on the university for $25,000 a year. And he worked 8 months out of the year and golfed the rest. And I remember, God, You are so unfair. I do not believe this. This guy doesn't deserve nothing. And I've been following You, serving You, trying to take care of my family, working like a dog, and what do You think You're doing? I'm glad he didn't change. I can look back now, as they say, hindsight's better than foresight, and say, thank You, God, You didn't listen to me. In fact, I'll tell you this. I've come to that conclusion many times in my life. I'm real glad God doesn't listen to me. You ought to be too. I'm glad He don't listen to you. I might be dead if He did. You know, I might be gone or something. Who knows? You know, who knows? I'm just so thankful that God knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing in your life. And I can promise you this. He'll always treat you fair. Society may not. But you know what's beautiful about society? Is that God's more powerful than society. And society may try to keep you down. But as you fear God, as you trust Him, as you realize He's fair, it'll blow your mind what He'll do in your life. It's kind of like Jesus, you see. They thought they got Him, didn't they? Guess what? 3 days later, He got them. He raised from the dead. And He's been untouched by death since. The same is true with you and I. You have to remember this. The world that you and I live in is quickly passing away. I'm halfway to 70. 70 will be here in no time if the Lord doesn't come back first. And when you and I are sitting in heaven together and we're walking along our crystal lake with gold streets, we're going to look at each other and go, you know, it seems like we've always been here. Oh, we have. You know, we've been here 1 billion years last time I counted. Really? It just seems like we got here yesterday, and yet it seems like we've been here forever. See, heaven's going to be that way. God will make every wrong right. God always plays fair with you. He'll never toss you a curve. You may think it's a curve. You may think it's bad. But if you're willing to take God's perspective, everything He does, Psalm says, is good. And upright, and fair, and just. Everything. Everything. One day, you'll understand that with your eyes. But I would encourage you this. It would be far better for you to accept it now than to wait. It would be far better for you to arrive at that conclusion today than to wait 10 years in your life. Because the world I live in, I don't know what world you live in, is just getting worse every day. And you're going to have more questions 10 years from now than you do now if you don't settle it now. The time to settle it is now. Whether you know Christ or whether you don't, God is fair. And He always plays fair. If He didn't, we'd be gone already. I'd like to invite you back next week because I'm going to start a series next week entitled How to Be Close to God.